On today's episode of F-Bombs with Priscilla, today's F-Bombs is Feelings and Family Part 2. Today, Lila and I have a conversation about her story and what she went through from her perspective, and I really think this will help a lot of teenagers specifically. Here we go.
Go on and try to tear me down. I will be right.
All right, guys. So last week, or a couple weeks ago, I shared our family story from my perspective, and I thought it would be important. Well, the only reason I shared it from my perspective is because my daughter Lila wanted to share her story, because we've been talking about it for a long time, that owning your story and taking back power mm-hmm. doesn't make you a victim to what happened to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. Guys, my daughter Lila is here.
Hi.
And I'm excited for her to be able to share with you guys what she's been going through and own her story and tell you guys what she's done to help heal herself. Did I say that right? No.
I think so.
I know you're a little nervous.
Yes, I'm very nervous.
Are you sure you still want to do this?
I'm 100% sure.
You're still good. Okay, because we don't have to if you don't want to.
I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just think of it as, like, you know how we have our talks in the car? We just, like, talk about whatever. Like, just think of that we're in the car and we're hanging out and having a conversation. And you guys, I'm sorry if this audio is bad, but we are in our office. I figured this would be where Lila's more comfortable than in the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's start with where this all started for you. I don't know how you ever... I'm just going to let you say it the way you want to, because okay. This is your story.
Okay. So I grew up in an environment where my dad was always struggling with addiction to alcohol or drugs. And at the time, I thought that this was how a parent was supposed to act. Like, the kid is supposed to take care of the adult, necessarily. And as I grew older, I started to realize that that wasn't the case. And my dad was starting to become, like, in and out of my life every now and then. And it was really traumatic because I thought this was my fault. And he started, like, giving up the role as being, like, my dad. And it was really hard, and I thought that there was something wrong with me because, like, oh, you're not good enough, daughter, that's why I'm not going to be in your life. And originally, Mom wasn't letting me go over to his house, and I thought, oh, Mom is just being mean and won't let me see my dad, and she's just this mean, awful mom. But as I grew older, I started realizing that that's not the case. Like, my dad was actually, like, struggling with a lot, and she was trying to protect me, but she also didn't know about all the other things that I was going through. And then when I started realizing it as I got older, it started really, like, affecting me really badly, because I thought all of these reasons that my dad was leaving or that he was taking care of these other kids and not me was because of me, and I was it was my fault.
And it was hard for you to open up with me because
I didn't share these things, because my dad always told me, don't tell your mom, like, we're not supposed to keep things between us. So it's like our daddy-daughter relationship. Like, we keep secrets with each other. And I was like, oh, yeah, my dad wants to have this close relationship with me. That's so cool.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize that he was trying to hide all these bad things from you. And so when he started not, like, putting effort into me anymore and started paying attention to these other kids who aren't even his, and his fiance and all these things, and just kind of, like, forgetting about me, it was really, like, downhill for me after that.
And I know, like, obviously, like, your trauma with your dad has been a bulk of it, but you mm-hmm. were also dealing with some other issues.
Mm-hmm. So there, I was dealing with these really nasty girls at school, always, like, calling me things and telling me how, like, pointing out, like, my insecurities and telling me how, like, I'll never be good enough, like, as they are and things like that. And, like, one girl even told me over the summer that I faked my depression for attention.
Oh, Lila.
Yeah.
That breaks my heart. And then, of course, like, you didn't like being at home either.
Yeah, so as soon as I started, like, all these, like, things were affecting me, my grades just dropped, and I didn't tell Mom about any of this, so she just thought I was becoming, like, this lazy kid. And I was constantly, like, getting like, yelled at about my grades, and then these nasty girls, and then on top of everything, there was my dad, and it was just...
You didn't have...
I didn't know how to handle it anymore.
Yeah, so then mom got the call.
Yeah, so...
From your counselor. So what happened leading up to that? Because, yeah, I mean, what was your perspective on that?
Well, as I told you, I thought I was ashamed to have any feelings. And a couple weeks before this, I saw this girl and she had cuts on her arms. And I was like, oh, I'd never do that ever. Like, I can't believe someone would even think about doing that to themselves. And then it came to the time where I couldn't handle these emotions anymore. And I had a pair of scissors on my desk. And I just, that's the only thing my mind went to is like, if I can feel the pain in my arms, the mental pain will go away.
It makes me so sad that you were hurting so badly and I didn't know. Because, you know, it breaks my heart as your mom. So I get the call from you. You have a friend that...
So I heard that I was in the bathroom and I was pulled my sleeves up to wash my hands. And one of my friends saw my arms. And that day I got called down to the counselor's office to talk about how someone saw the cuts on my arms, and my mom got the call that day. And
can I just tell you how incredible that friend is, whoever that was?
I know. I will forever be grateful for that friend. At first, I was angry. I was like, why would you even do this? Like, I can't believe you would just personally, like, tell anybody. But now, like, if that friend didn't say anything, who knows where, how,
I know.
What would happen now?
I know. Who knows if I would have even noticed, I would have, like... picked up on it. Like, I just, who, if you're that kid and you're listening to this, like,
like,
our
thank
family
you.
Yeah,
thank
our
you so much.
Our family is so grateful for you. So mom picks you up and then we come home and we sit on the couch. Do you remember that day?
Yeah, we're crying for just 3 hours straight, or just talking about, like, what was going on. You, me, Michael, Jax is at school. And we were just sitting and crying and just talking about, like, what was going through my head and what would cause me to do these things.
Did you start to feel a little bit more understood or supported after that?
Yes, I did, definitely. Like, okay, they understand what's going on. Like, maybe I can actually...
But it didn't stop there because, you know, we did find what we found in your room.
Yeah.
So tell me about that.
So, obviously, I started going to therapy after that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this will be great. But I really felt no change in my feelings. And instead of actually trying to do something, I started writing these notes to a friend. There was just drawings and, like, notes in my rooms about how I didn't want to be here anymore. Because in that time, I felt hopeless. I felt useless. Like, if I can't do anything to fix myself or help anybody else, then why would I even want to be here anymore?
That breaks my heart.
It was really scary because my mom, like, it was probably terrifying for you, but imagine living in that. It was awful because I didn't know what to do. I felt like this.
Did you feel like you were drowning or like you?
I felt like ashamed and like drowning in guilt. Like, why would I even think this way? But at the same time, it sounded like a good idea.
So mom finds the notes. I go back to your school. I pick you up.
We have another 3 hour talk and cry session again.
Yeah, but this one was more intense. Like, this one was really like...
This one was serious.
And I mean, they were both serious.
Oh, yeah, but this one was... And I remember we were just talking, and the one thing that I will always remember that crossed my mind is Michael telling me, think about Jax.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that was the thing that stood out for you because... When he said that, like, that's really what made you break down.
That made me break down.
Why is that?
I'm gonna cry.
It's okay.
I hated Jax when I first found out that you were pregnant with
him. I remember when you found out I was pregnant, you were not happy.
But these past 4 years, I don't think I could even remember living without Jax.
How do you feel about Jax?
Jax is everything to me. I love that little girl. And I imagine, like, what if I didn't have Jax? She would feel the same way if I wasn't here.
Yeah. Jax, you know, Jax, you are her world. You know, I mean, it's like, it's crazy that you guys are so far apart in age, but you guys, like...
She's like my best friend and she's only four.
You guys have the most incredible bond, and it's, I've never seen anything like it, and I am jealous of it because I never had that bond with my siblings, and it brings joy to my heart that in that time of desperation that your little sister could be the person that, like, gives you the hope, or it gives you the, like, desire to keep going. You know what I mean?
She'll always be my hope. There's no changing that. She's really one of the most important things that made me just, like...
What do you think it is about Jax that's... Because you have a different bond with her than you do with, like, me or other
friends. I grew up... Well, it was just you and me for 10 years of my life. I remember always having this, like, attention from you, and I just grew up by myself. And sometimes it felt a little lonely. And I remember when Jax came, just this instant, like, my heart filled with, like, this is my little sister. I get to... grow up with her. I get to tell her what to do when I'm older. We get to share these moments. Like, when she's older, I can do her hair. Like, that little girl's, like, my best friend, and she's only four.
Well, yeah, and I think you see the bigger picture is when she's 20 and you're 30, you guys are gonna, you know, be best friends. Yeah. And yeah, so I am just so grateful for that relationship with her that you have. So that was the point after that we
decided to start going to therapy.
We did a lot. Yeah, we went full force. Mm-hmm. We decided we're not messing around. Lila needs all resources, all help, all things thrown her way. So why don't you tell some of the things that you decided to do, or that we did as a family?
So I think, well, we started to be more open with each other. I remember that. We started to be, like, together more, hanging out. We decided to start taking therapy sessions together to talk about what's going on in our family, why am I feeling like this, and why do I have anxiety, and, like, I was so focused on, like, how I was hurt that I didn't see the people in front of me that actually truly loved me. But because I was so focused on someone who hurt me.
So do you think once you shift that focus?
Everything changed. I took Michael as my dad, as Michael as my dad. If you ask me who my dad is now, I could easily tell you that that's Michael. And it's just crazy because I remember the first day I went into therapy and I didn't want to say anything. And
yeah, now I mean, it was hard. You didn't want to go.
I didn't want to go. I didn't want to talk to this random person. And now when you tell me to go to therapy, I'm so excited because I'm so excited.
And then you went to workshop.
Mm-hmm. I went to workshop.
I feel like that, too, was a pivotal point.
A big impact.
So tell everybody what workshop is.
So it's basically this week-long camp. You go from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day, and it's basically this, like, self-improvement kind of type camp where you talk about, like, what friends, like, how to learn if friends are toxic, or you need to put, like, boundaries towards them, or, like,
just how to have social skills right?
Yeah.
You told me about one exercise you did with the paper whatever. That was, like, that the was, part that, that you...
It was called Crossing the Line, and on Wednesday... it's the biggest night of workshop. They actually extend the hours to an extra hour because of this. So basically they put a big circle in the middle with rope and you write your biggest problems, like, that's been worrying you this year on a piece of paper, and you go up there and you tell everybody into the microphone your problem, and you rip it up and they bury your papers. And right there in front of everybody, I told everyone, I want to let go of all the guilt that my dad gave me and that the guilt I felt from cutting my arms. And I ripped the paper up and it was gone. And that was the biggest impact because there were so many more people who were going through the same thing that I didn't even know.
And remember when we started workshop, you didn't want to go to
I did not want to go to workshop at all.
So how do you feel about workshop now?
Workshop is amazing. Like, next year I'm totally going to go. And then as soon as I turn... 16, I'm gonna try and be a peer leader, because I recommend workshop for everybody.
That's awesome.
It's a big impact on your life.
Okay, So you're a teenager, and opening up about your problems is probably really hard.
It's hard for kids our age. But even if you don't want to, I suggest you do it, you know?
Why do you think it's important for kids to reach out to people and ask for help?
Because some kids feel like they can't say anything, and that's when they start drowning in, like, their problems. That's what happened. I felt like I couldn't say anything, or I felt like it was wrong of me to be feeling this way, so I kept it to myself, and that's what made the problems build up. So if you talk to someone, even if it's, like, a teacher or even your school counselor, that's
because amazing. Because every person that you've told, how has the response been?
Incredible. Open arms, like, hugs, like, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm so glad that you got through this. Like, you're just the strongest person that I've ever met.
Yeah, the support, yeah. Like, so when kids don't want to talk to people, it's probably because they're scared they're going to get judged, or they're scared that they're going to be shamed or be embarrassed. But on the other side of that fear, there's so much support. Mm-hmm. Like it's still scary, right?
Well, it's 100%.
And scary. No one is expecting anyone to get rid of that fear. Mm-hmm. You're just working through it. Mm-hmm. And on the other side of it is so much relief and so much, like, support. So incredibly supportive, because mm-hmm. you know how many people love you, right? Mm-hmm. Like, do you feel that now?
100%. I can't tell you how different I feel from the past couple months ago to
and
now.
And I know Lila and I are, we have the typical mother-daughter relationship when you're a teenager. We fight.
Yeah.
Or I get very upset a lot because homegirl does not know how to follow rules. But I think you and I do a good job at communicating. Mm-hmm. And because my biggest fear is for you to ever feel, because I know for the long time one of your big fears was that Michael and I were going to leave you.
Yeah. So my biggest fear was that since there was something that made my dad leave, that I was going to become a disappointment to you guys too, and you guys were going to leave me. That was definitely my biggest fear.
Do you understand, like, how impossible that is now?
Yes.
Like, I wouldn't even, like, there would be nothing. Wherever we go, you go, girlfriend. I wouldn't leave you anywhere, even if I had the option to. So you feel that now, though, right?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I think it's something that you'll always work through, mm-hmm. what you went through. But it makes me so proud of the progress that you've made in this amount of time. Like, you've got new friends. You switched schools. You made JV cheer. Your grades are amazing. And you've been working so hard. And it's incredible to me that you have gone from the darkest of darkest places to, like, this thriving, beautiful girl that just, like, you can see that the light is, like, back in you. Do you feel that way?
I feel exactly like that. I feel like my happy, bright self again than I did, like, what, 6 months, 7 months ago?
And, you know, I want you to really understand that, like, your trauma and what has happened to you isn't who made you who you are. It's your resilience. It's being able to overcome this, being able to own your story, taking mm-hmm. power of how you feel, like, not letting anyone control your narrative. Like, this is your life, mm-hmm. and you get to live it in your truth. So I can't tell you, Lila, how many adults can't do what you did. Like, it is so powerful. I know you're going to encourage a lot of kids to mm-hmm. be brave and reach out. And I know that you're going to encourage a lot of parents and to have conversations. What do you think I could have done as your mom to help you before?
Just, I think parents are, like, as soon as their kids become, like, this, around the teenager age, like 13, 14, 15, they think that, okay, my kid wants to be independent now. I think parents should at least try to be more engaged in their child's life. That's one of the things that people don't really understand about teenagers, is that we really do actually want our parents' attention more than, like, anything, you know?
That's beautiful.
Like, if there's any kids having, like, this feeling, I really encourage you to just reach out to someone, please. Don't try to hide it like I did, because it won't end well. Even if it's not your parents, talk to a teacher. They'll let your parents know for you if you're too scared. Like, just someone, okay? And even if you do tell your parents, like, they are going to be the number one people who are going to accept you with the most love. Like, I can't tell you how much love Michael and my mom gave me. Like, Michael had really taken the role to step up and being my dad, and my mom has pushed me, like, so, like, hard to make me become successful, and I can't thank either of them enough.
I will say this as a parent, is it's hard to not only see you go through that, but to push you to do things that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
Therapy, you didn't want to do it. We did it.
Mm-hmm. And now I love it.
Workshop, you didn't want to do it.
I did it, and now I love it.
You didn't want to try out for cheer.
And I did, and guess what? You guessed it. I love it.
Yeah, so as hard as it is to make your kids do these things, guys, it is critical to their mental health, their success, all of that. So just fight for your kids. That's my mm-hmm. biggest advice, and I promise you they'll feel it, because this homegirl right here in front of me feels it. I love you so much, and I'm so proud of you, and I know that you're going to help a lot of kids, so you the best girl. You the best girl.
You the best mom. You the best mom.
All right, so thank you guys for listening. I'm going to be speaking a little bit more about this Saturday at our Adelante Mami conference, and I would love to have you guys there. You can get tickets now at the link in my bio at Priscilla QOD. And if you hit the subscribe button for this podcast and leave a review, we would greatly appreciate it.